to the moms once again, happy Mother's Day. Here is my Mother's Day sermon for you. Moms, if you'll listen to what we're talking about this morning, it'll bless your children. Children, if you will follow these precepts, it will bless your mom. Happy Mother's Day. So now we're going to go to our regular theme in the light of Mother's Day. You all right with that?
Yes.
So we're going to do that without waiting any further. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I don't know how many of you have been with us over the last couple of months, but we've been talking about the power of the spoken word of God. The power of the word being hidden in your heart. And Jesus saying that out of the abundance of the heart. Think about that phrase. Out of the abundance of the heart. This isn't something that you got just a little bit of. This is something that is building and building on the inside of you. Somebody near and dear to me, and I can't reveal who, just revealed their love to somebody very special to them. This happened over a course of months in which they've been dating and you know, little by little, without them being willing to admit it to each other, falling in love. How many remember that experience? And little by little, the constant affirmation of how beautiful you are, how handsome you are. I just love you. I can't think about anybody else. I remember falling asleep on the phone. Look at all you guys. It's so common. I remember falling asleep on the phone talking to your sweetie. You remember that? I do. Both ways. And after a while, this pursuit of love and words and affirmation, it's a beautiful picture of what we see in Romans 10, 17. Faith, trust. Trust in Him comes as a result of the continual affirmation of beautiful and wonderful promises given to us. Things like this. Behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. So that we can boldly say, the Lord, He says, I've promised you I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do unto me. You could just stop it at fear, period. Because he's quoting the Old Testament. How many are glad that perfect love casts out all fear? Promises. You remember telling your wife, well, see, here's the thing. The abundance, that buildup of word and promises and affirmations and beautiful things we say to compliment each other, all feeding a love relationship, finally explodes into these words for the first time. How many can remember it? I love you. And it's like, do you remember that first love? Some of you, maybe some of you'd rather not. That's okay. We're talking to real people. But I love you. All right? Comes out. Jesus said, out of the abundance, this is a great building. Come on, some of you need to come back. Aren't you glad for new beginnings? Come on, I know some of you have been married more than once, so don't let the devil distract you. Take one thing I said. Can we talk about real life without getting distracted? Come on, people. We are not a this group right here is not a commercial generation. We can hear truth. All right, so come back right now. Now, we're using an analogy of the love of God for us. And as we rehearse and remember and remind ourselves and murmur and sing in the night, how many are glad for promises that come to us in the night? A song in the night in time of trouble. How many are glad for that? His continual singing over us. His love for us. How many know that that builds and builds and builds until out of our mouth, our lips proclaim, you are great, we magnify you together. You're the one I love. You're the one that I adore. This is what worship is all about. I love this song we just did. How many are glad for great grace? Hallelujah. You know what that means? I hope we're learning together. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart. Think about that. Out of the abundance of the heart. If you don't have a building, a pressing against the dam of your heart as a great reservoir, a pressing, it's time to realize that the only way for that to build is for you to begin to remember and rehearse the promises of God. James says it in James chapter 1 this way. He's reminding us and himself, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You can take what he says to the bank. We are his beloved, and he is mine. And the scripture declares his banner, Sally, over me is love. Can you lift your hands all over the room this morning? Come on, moms. Aren't you glad for the banner? I tell you what a thankless job sometimes a mother can be. They'll get sick, and they still got to take care of everybody else. You ever notice that us guys get sick? We want them to wait on us hand and foot, and we want them to do and do and do and do and do. But they get sick. Oh, we still expect them to do and do and do and do. More often, it's a mother's prayers. Are you here today? Come on, Mom, once again. Everybody, but moms especially. Thank you, Lord, that today your love over me is great. You saw the tears. You saw the tough times. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for honoring your mom today. Your moms today with special strength and grace and peace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for moms, Bruce? Hallelujah. And their prayers. Mom, put it that way. Praise the Lord. I sent a video to my mother yesterday, sitting horseback. Happy Mother's Day, 6 o'clock in the morning. And you should hear, my mom just loves all that stuff. And she's something else. How I love my mama. She was the one who set me on her knee and taught me Psalms 1, 1 through 3. In remembrance of her raising me in those things today, I love to rehearse. Blessed. I've heard that come up. Jackie's heard it since we were first dating. Long before that. In different aspects of growing up, I could hear the words, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This man will be like a tree planted by rivers of waters. He'll bring forth fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's my mother. Put those, I don't take a thing away from my dad, many, many words and seeds, but that early planting of a seed and helping me memorize scripture put a word in my heart that over and over again in life, under the press, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When it left the hiding place, David put it this way, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How many know it pays to memorize scripture? It pays to begin to fill yourself with the goodness of who he is. And as you fill and fill and fill, let the pressure on that dam of your soul, bust the dam loose and let words flow out of your mouth that are supernatural, declaring the goodness of God. The best time to do that is when you're under the rough. The Bible calls that a sweet sacrifice of praise. How many can lift your hands one more time this morning and say, for you are good? Come on, let's hear it all over the room. You are good. Come on, I don't care what you've done or where you've been or how bad you have failed. He is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot go against Himself. How He loves us. Come on, one more time. For the Lord is good. Come on, stand to your feet this morning, would you? For the Lord is good. Come on. He is good and His mercy endures forever. Come on, shout it out with me. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Come on, lift up your hands all over the room and worship Him. Thank you, Lord, today for your love, for your word, for your goodness to us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. You can be seated if you can. Aren't you glad for His goodness today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The importance of getting the Word of God. And then when we begin to learn that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, we've discovered that the door to the supernatural is called faith. And it swings on the hinges of your confession. Do we have mice? Do you hear that? No, it's in the sound system. Are you sure? That's hard to ignore. I've never heard that before. Are you sure? It's not sound. The computer? We good? Maybe it's the air. Well, we'll attempt to ignore it. How about that? I don't know if I can. Is it the air conditioner? Maybe try killing that air. Oh. I'm glad we're mostly family this morning. And if you're not, well, this is us. There we go. Maybe. Got it. Nope. See, it'll take a minute for it to kill. All right. Very good. We doing okay? Where was I? Were we in church? Boy, you're a bright bunch this morning. Let's go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. That's what it was. The door to the supernatural is faith. How many know the just shall live by faith? Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. We live by faith. It's what? It's gone. It went with Ted, so it must be Ted. That's hilarious. Maybe not. Nope. That was it. Interesting. Well, we'll just turn it up real loud in here for him. Is that all right with you guys? Okay. The door to the supernatural is faith. It swings on the hinges of our confession. Smith Wigglesworth said this. It says that our confession, those of you who have not been with us, we built this out of scripture that speaks of our confession or our profession, the word in the Greek, homologio, which means to say the same thing as the word of God, all right? Speaking the word, the same thing as God does. So the importance of the spoken word. Smith Wigglesworth, who purportedly raised over 18 people from the dead, said that our confession builds the road over which the mighty cargo of our blessing travels. That's a pretty amazing thing. I didn't quote it exactly right, but you can catch it. As we speak the word of God, it builds a road for the blessing of God to reach us. Tremendous man of God. All right. Now, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to start a few verses just before that. 16 is where we're going to draw our attention to. Finally, look at... Whoops, I'm in the wrong book again. Colossians 3:16. Back up, if you would, to verse 12. I'm reading out of the King James. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, the chosen of God. I'm really glad to be the chosen of God this morning. Amen. As the elect of God. How many know that God chose everyone? This is where those who preach predestination, that God already decided who's going to be saved and who's not, are way wrong. If they read the whole book, they find out that every man's name is written in the Lamb's book of life. There is a blotting out, but there is not a writing in. For from the beginning of time, we were all written in. He predestined that every man would be loved, that every man would respond to his love, that every man should walk. How many know, though, that he left that decision up to us? That's why the preaching of the gospel is so important, that every man has an opportunity to respond. Are you here today? But God elected that every man, predestined that every man, predestinated, as the King James says, that every man would know him and love him. That's the way God sees. You know, Peter put it this way: God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many know that all are not coming to repentance? But it was God's will that every man would come to repentance. So much for some of the sovereignty of God teaching. How many know God is sovereign? Absolutely. But he is so sovereign that he chose to limit himself because of love and covenants born out of that love. Aren't you thankful for that today? We don't get what we deserve because of his love. We get way more than we deserve also because of his love, hence mercy and grace. Okay, so backing up. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Okay? And above all these things, put on charity, the King James says, love. How many remember when we talked about how that faith works by love? So above everything else, no matter how right you may feel you are and how wrong they may be, how many know that among believers and with the world as well, that should be our attitude. Love your enemies, Jesus taught us. But certainly among believers, how many know that no matter how right we feel we may be, how many know that ultimately love should reign? All right? He says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond. Look at what he says, the bond of perfectness. Pretty amazing. And let the peace of God, as a result of this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called. Did you know that you're called to peace? Did you know you're in church this morning? Or have you already left? Do you know that you are called to peace? You're called to peace, to be at peace. It's amazing how we can just work ourselves up into a dither, awake in the middle of the night, still angry, or worrying over something somebody said. How many know that we're called to peace? Let the love of God dwell in you, for you're called to peace, one body. And he says, and be ye thankful. How many know that being thankful is one of the deepest expressions of faith? I won't go into all my stories that I always tell about thankfulness, but there is a power in faith that expresses itself in thankfulness, especially when in our mind we have nothing to be thankful for. That is when it is the sweetest and the strongest, and you can be sure of the outcome. He says, and be you thankful. Verse 16, and let, look at this. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says here, and let the word of Christ. Many of you may not realize this, but Romans 10:17, that you've heard me quote quite a bit, that says, faith comes, the King James says this way, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And of course, redundantly, I'll repeat, most of us are aware that the Greek there, the connotation is a continual hearing of God's word is what causes faith to come to us. Now, in context, we understand Romans 10:17 is the preaching of the gospel. And we initially receive faith to believe in Jesus as a result of the gospel being preached. But how many know in the life of the believer, faith still is strengthened through the continual hearing and rehearsing of the word of God? All right? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is actually a mistranslation. You go back to the original documents, King James, it actually says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Because there's a lot of the old law that was not intended to build faith. But Jesus reveals and Paul affirms that the law actually was never to build faith, but was actually to bring us, to cause sin to actually rise in strength in us. That's what he says. The more I tried to do the law, sin was strengthened in my life, and it brought me to the end of myself and helped me see that no one can do this without a Savior. Got a chance to for the first time, I've known this kid for 4 or 5 years. He's a Mormon boy. He's sincere. And he brought up the question. So without poking at him, I asked a few simple questions of my own in reference to what do you base your faith on? He surprised me with the first one. He says, well, I believe that you have to believe in Jesus and then do all the commandments and try to be a good person. So, you know where Pastor Lee went, / cowboy, with that gently. But gently, speaking through the wind and noise, he says, I want to talk to you some more. Because I said, this is in your Bible. Let's sit down. He goes, what do you mean, my Bible? You don't have my. I said, I do actually have your Bible. About that thick. But I said, the second half of your Bible is the same as my Bible. And you all claim that they agree, so I just, regardless of what's in the first part of it, let's look at what Jesus said, and let's examine. He goes, I'd like to do that. So when this, I'm not going to say his name, but when this comes to your mind, pray for me and pray for him, because he's seeking. He's hungry. Good kid. I get to thinking about that stuff and I get distracted and can't remember where I was at. I know, I've got all that. Thank you, I've got all that. No, we've got that. There was a point that I wanted to make further there in reference to that. In reference to the law. You The law does not bring, there you go, the law does not bring any faith. The law actually crushes any ability on my own. Sunday, if you were here last week, we talked about the difference. I wasn't being cute. That's why I looked up the definition of karma in Wikipedia and read it to you and showed you that that whole concept comes from, I'm sorry, but it's true, very demonically based world religions that teach a what goes around comes around. It's stolen from God's word that teaches seed time and harvest. And people believe that if you just be positive and be a good person, right? And they're devastated when it doesn't work out that way. And then they immediately, they make up their own religion, and then when it doesn't work out, they blame God. Kind of, that's the way it happens the world over. That's why I love to attest and shout at the top of my lungs, for He is good, and His mercy. The very idea of mercy breaks karma. Over and over and over and over again through history, the mercy and the grace of God. Before the law, there was grace. Before Mount Sinai, there were people who were called out, who murmured and complained and acted like babies and fell into slavery and were just... But God continued to deal with them according to grace. I love the picture of the Passover, where they're commanded in Egypt to take the blood of a perfect lamb, sacrificed, and that blood smeared over the doorpost. I heard Brother Joseph Prince, I'd never had that thought before. He's amazing at how he does that. He says, you know, you could have peeked into the homes of those however many million plus Jews, and you could have heard those talking about the faithfulness of God and how that He had a plan. And in others, you would have heard, this is crazy. What is blood from a lamb going to do? And others who just complied because this is what you do. But the blood still stood in its power. And when the death angel came, He passed over a picture of our redemption. Aren't you glad that the death angel has been rebuked in our lives because the blood of the Lamb? And the grace of God was there through their simple, excuse me, trust in His word. Shed blood. It didn't matter what was going on over in the home, going on in the home, because the blood was over the doorpost. Aren't you glad today that irregardless of how well I get this sometimes, how many have spun out and hit the guardrails a few times since you started in your faith with Jesus? How many flipped over the guardrails and they had to pull you out, stand you back up? Come on, are you here this morning? Aren't you glad for the mercy and the goodness of God? Religion makes it hard. Jesus put it this way. He said, my yoke is easy. You ever seen a yoke on oxen? As a boy, they were still plowing fields that way in Guatemala and Honduras, southern Mexico. They may still today. Heavy wooden yoke over the shoulders of oxen, hooked up to a rigging that pulled a plow, a wagon, whatever the case may be, a yoke of bondage, of slavery, of service. Jesus said, my yoke is different. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And He said that in direct response to those who preached the law. He was saying, I know what the law is, and what He would say that would get Him killed in so many words, and I am, remember, I am that I am? I am the fulfillment of that law. And whoever believes in me will have life. That's what got him killed. Because in not so many words, he was declaring, I am. Pretty amazing. And he was saying, my yoke is different from the one that you saw at Mount Sinai. There's a new yoke because of me. And it's easy and it is light. Speaking of a new law, Paul says that it would be a new law that would no longer be written in stone, but would be written on fleshy tables of the heart. Aren't you glad that we don't have a relationship with a book? You know, there's a lot of New Testament people right now in Christendom that have a relationship with a book. They still have a relationship with a law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He is the Word of God. And we have a relationship not with a book, but with a person. And His Word is Spirit, John 6:63. Spirit and life. That's why when we're talking about confession, we're not talking about karma, doing things, saying good things to get things to generate in a positive way. That'll get you in trouble every time. What we do is we get the Word of God in our heart, and it's no longer Word of God, it's Word of Christ, who fulfilled all the old. In fact, we see Him in all the old. It affirms who He is, but it is now secondary to the new covenant in which all this, types and shadows, pointed to a person within with whom we have relationship today. And His victory is our victory. So when Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see the same kind of idea as Jesus saying, out of the abundance. Are you here this morning? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I remember when they told my wife, told us together, said, we don't like what we see on your eye. How long's it been there? 7+ years. It would itch and bleed. It was affecting the working of her eye, the eyelid. It would tear all the time. They said, we need to look at that. They opened it up. And when they called us in, they were rather serious. They said, we need to talk to you. We went back in and they sat us down and they said, Mr. and Mrs. Shaw, what you have on your eye is cancer. The type that it is, where it's located, the amount of time that it's been there, we're sorry to tell you, but this is really serious. We hope that we can save your eye. Listen, Jackie, you're here, sweetie. That's the gal I'm talking about. We hope that we can save your eye. I'm not being a sensation. I'm not playing games. We hope that we can save your eye. But in all honesty, the reality is it has probably extended into your brain. When I walked back out into the main office, I met a group of people in that medical center that wouldn't look me in the eye except the one that had to get me to sign papers. They looked at me in the eye, and this is what they told me. Everybody was looking down. They said, Mr. Shaw, we're so sorry. You have such a beautiful family. You think for a minute there that fear did not want to grip my heart? This wasn't playing games anymore. The question of why, screaming. Why? What happened? We always think of David's word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We always thinking of cussing and drinking and running around. And Paul made it very clear Under the auspices of the law, anything that was not of faith was sin. Wow, that's tough. Except for, whew, what a blessed Savior. How many are glad for Jesus today? Come on, how many are glad for Jesus today? He is good. Where do you hear this in church anymore? They're trying to convince you that Jesus is the one behind your cancer. Never. I don't care if there's two people left here and we got to lock the doors. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He is good and His mercy endures forever. He is for us and not against us. He's not making it hard. He makes it easy. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. And in times of trouble, He is faithful. But it's so important that before you get into a jam, let me tell you something. Even if you get in a jam and there's no word in you, if you've given Jesus your life, He's still with there. He will still be faithful. He will speak to you. He will love you. But let me tell you something. The results will look different, not because He isn't good, not because He doesn't love you, not because of any of those things, but the results will be different because we're not, there's nothing in us. And He will love us and provide for us and work with us on our level because He's true to His word. How many know that is wonderful? And in the end, if we die trying, in the end we have our victory anyway. For He has already overcome death, hell, and the grave. But let me tell you something. Even in this life, there are better results for those who hide the word of God in their hearts. To the point that there's an abundance, and out of the abundance, the mouth begins to speak. And on that confession, a road begins to be. And listen, it takes time. We're dealing with our men's group on Sunday morning, talking about growth, how that it takes time to grow. We live in a world right now that is offering shortcuts on every level. Are you here today? How many know that shortcuts? I remember when we first moved here to Prescott. I could not get my head around the direction. It just felt like Prescott was pointed wrong. Do you remember that? Because like a lot of these old towns, they weren't laid out. Like Western Kansas, they were wagon roads. They just happened. And you can get yourself so turned around. And I remember what I thought was a shortcut when I first came here. I got to looking on the map. I got a chuckle because it felt better. I felt better emotionally. But the bottom line is what I thought was a shortcut was costing me time, fuel. I called it a shortcut. Proverbs 14:12 says this. Write that down. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Jesus said in Matthew 7, He said, a man that builds his house on a rock, this house, when the storms and the floods come, will stand. But the one who builds his house on sand, it'll be swept away. What's He speaking of? When we build our house on a rock, this is a picture of Jesus, the living Word of God. And aren't you glad it's not a relationship with a book anymore? It's a relationship with the living Word, Jesus Christ, who has caused His love to be shed abroad in our heart, establishing a new law for those who are listening. We doing okay this morning? So when Paul says by the Spirit of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Remember, this is the same guy that says we believe. Bam! Therefore, we speak. utterances that are not positive talking, but they're utterances that are born out of an overflowing of the promises of God. Now it will sound like, see, when that happens, it doesn't mean that you're going to go around, although it'd be great if you did, go around and quoting scriptures all the time. But if my heart is changed as a result of the word going in, then when somebody walks up and says to me, 55, how's it feel to be old? I will be gracious and not be a jerk, and I'll say, hey. But inside of me, there's a rebel that rises up and says, I'm young and I'm strong. I've got a long life to live. I've been promised 120, and I'm not settling for less. You call me crazy, then you're calling the Word of God crazy. I may change my mind at 110. That's between me and the Lord. But right now, I'm setting my goal high. Where are you setting your goals? Do you even set goals? Huh? We were promised eternity, but I'm not talking about that. That we got down. I'm talking about in this life. In this life. You're right. You're exactly right. That's the end of the story. Absolutely. We win anyway. But how many know in this life, Scripture says, remember last week we read out of Proverbs chapter 3 and 4, says that when we honor His Word, His promise to us is long life and length of days. Say amen or oh me. I'll finish with Mom. Thank you. So, we walked out of that doctor's office. Think of that. Long life. Listen, I'm not bragging. I'm just reporting. Because new challenges are ahead. And they will count then. How many can tell of a testimony? Miraculous. But now that you're in the middle of a battle, you have to apply your faith right now. You can't live on past victories. You got to live on where you're at right now. But I tell these stories to encourage people. The door to the supernatural is faith. And it swings on the hinges of our confession. This has been wiped out by whisperers and those who attacked the so-called word of faith. But the Bible says it is the key to our victory. It's a place to relax, not get uptight. You get that stuff in you, what happens is when somebody comes with a, like I said, about 55, the rebel comes up to me, and I don't say that. I'm not going to be rude to them. I know what they mean. They're in so many ways congratulating me for being 55, and I'm no longer a young guy. I get what they're saying, but I'm not going to let that overlying worldly thinking, the spirit of this age, now I have to submit to everything else. Stop. There may be facts, but I've got a truth that is greater than fact. How many are glad for the truth? Three of you. All right, we'll work with three of you then. How many are glad for the truth of God's word? Be careful what you accept in the name of normal. Jackie, I think it's, and I got to be careful because there's a confession thing going on right here. I need to be very careful in my attempt to explain what I'm talking about. But it seems like so many times women are more sensitive intuitive. They're more in tune. And they pick up. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. They pick up on things. And while us men are out there, we're the big salesman with the big voice and the big whatever, and yon ho, let's go. I'll never forget in one point in our ministry, back, very successful ministry, I announced the new direction, and my wife was already, like I was, burning a candle at three ends, and she fell across the bed crying when I told her what we're doing. And the next morning, typical of Jackie, oh, it's easy to announce. This is what we're doing. But who's going to fill in the blanks? Next morning, she's up with, you know what, honey? I like it. Talk to me. How are we going to do this? Women seem to just... I think of Dodie Osteen. John Osteen, who I will always love. That message still thunders in my mind and in my heart. Brother John Osteen. This is Joel Osteen's daddy. 5'7" and 9 feet tall. What a man of God. How he impacted our family and our life on the mission field and me as a young man, and then later on my wife and I as a young couple. I remember sitting next to Joel Osteen when he was a nobody running the media department. He was my age. I was 21, sat next to him. I thought he was a 15-year-old boy. I'm sitting right here next to Joel. We're the exact same age. And that whole family... Regardless of what you think of Joel, be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you're saying. He's a good man who loves God. He may not be doing what you think needs to be done. You don't know the whole story. I know his mama. And if his mama approves, there's more going on in the inner workings of that ministry, way more than what you see as his message to couch potatoes when the rest of us are at church. It's designed that way. So be careful what you say. I'll just leave that. But Daddy was something else. He was quite a man of God. How he would preach. And yet, you know, John Osteen died in his 70s. I was blessed to be in one of the last services. He preached. Nobody knew at the time he was on dialysis. And he passed away before he was 80 years of age. His wife, who was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given weeks to live, whose oldest boy, their oldest boy, is a surgeon in Houston, when he saw the medical report, wept. For he knew, medically, there was no hope. One was a preacher. Now, I'm making a judgment call that I don't even know if I want it to go out in public. But I know and love the man. And I've seen the inner workings of this with people that I know very well. I've seen this weakness seemingly almost inherent in men, in me. And because I've seen it, I've backed up and began to talk to it. But he could preach it. And proclaim it. And I've seen people healed and miracles done and lives changed. But his little wife sitting down there on the front row was building an abundance of great and exceeding precious promises that when her hour came, she didn't just quote, having done all to stand. That little lady stood and rebuked cancer. She was in so much pain, weighed less than 90 pounds, would tell her kids they would be weeping and saying, "Mama, you're crazy, you're sick yourself. What is the matter with you?" She said, "I know God's word is true." Weighed 90-some pounds, racked with pain, said, "Take me to the hospital. I want to pray for the sick." Let the word of Christ. She'd stand with John 10:10 as her model. At 10 minutes after 10 in the morning and 10 minutes after 10 at night, she'd stand with every healing scripture she could find in her shoes, standing on the promises, John 10:10. And they could hear her worshiping God at the top of her lungs. It amazes me how that this message right here, listen people, if I fail at it myself, it is still true. Never put your eyes on a man or a woman. But this lady stood on the Word of God. Let me tell you something, the Word of God works. Weeks went by and months went by and the day came. This was without medical intervention. The day came when she stood. We've got her book out in our library. I know the lady personally. Personal letter when I broke my leg. Wonderful people. Huge ministry, but never huge in their minds. One of a kind. A year went by. 2 years went by. She has outlived her husband, the preacher. People, let me encourage you today. Don't let this overwhelm you, but take one word. You got a struggle? Start with one. Find one word about your struggle. Plant it. And another. And another. And one more. And after all, you go, man, I didn't know I could memorize scripture. And another. I went home that day after we got the report for Jackie. You know where the preacher was at? The preacher of faith? I'd seen cataracts. Literally. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you. I've seen cataracts. Me. Honduras. In the name of Jesus. Walk away. And as I'm praying for these, this lady's over here, I don't know what's going on. She's having a tizzy. She's yelling and crying and creating a stir. And I'm turning around going, what's the matter with you? Somebody usher. Till I realize she looks at me and I'm looking into eyes that are as perfect and new as a baby's. And she's bawling because she's reading the roster off the back wall. People, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pretty awesome. Say, he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Here's the deal, though. I'm that guy. But when this happened, I shrank like a rose, cut at the root, and in the direct sunlight. Oh, I could preach it. That's a good salesman. But I had a little gal that walked beside me. She was never, still is. She doesn't want to be in the limelight. I don't want people calling me pastor. I'm just your help. I don't like that. But the Word. And to my amazement, I'm not bragging on my wife. People, listen, I'm trying to get something. This is for everyone. What I heard come out of her mouth while mine was shrinking. Fear was, that's dog. You ever been there? Dog paddling. God, I know you're true. I've seen what you do. I'm reminding myself, bless the Lord. I heard come out of her in the middle of the night. Cursed from the roots. Mark chapter 11. And many others. Her faith. And listen, this is why faith is not to be done alone. We live in a generation where we're so independent. Faith and bodyhood and humility and serving one another. None of this works good alone. A woman by herself, completely by herself, bear with me, cannot produce children. A man completely by himself will never have a son or a daughter. It takes two from the beginning. It takes a body. Not popular now, but it will be. You mark my words. God help us where this could take us, but not God help those who are in this flow. For when it's dark, the light shines bright. The greatest miracles I've ever seen were in war-torn Guatemala. Great fear and great faith. We do not. This is way sober. I didn't mean to be this sober. I got to wrap this up. Bottom line is, you've heard the story, and I'll skip all that because I want to finish something up here. A surgeon scared me halfway into the middle of next week, which can again tell you where my heart was at. When here she came running, saying, Mr. Shaw scared me. I thought something bad had happened. And a surgeon who didn't believe in God kind of half mocked what we had to be careful. Do you remember that? Is crying and saying, we don't understand. It's as though the roots had dried up. Now, here's the thing. No matter where you're at, you know, I've got Tommy sitting right here, his dad, in a battle that he will win and is winning. It's supernatural what he's doing. There's medical intervention in there, but it doesn't make it any less a work from God. We got to be careful what we buck, because he will meet us at our level. He's not a God who says, you got to stack it right, get it straight, don't mess up, and if you don't, I can't come through. That's what a extreme message on faith has done, and it's turned something beautiful, a rest, into a work. But I'm here to tell you, though, his dad will tell you himself. I had so much fear in church put into me for so many years, I was behind the curve. But I'm seeing today that God is still faithful. He himself has said, I may not have had to go through some things if I would have known, but he is still faithful today. Every time I see your dad, I'm blessed. How many are in some battles? It's never too late to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And let that abundance come out of your mouth and build a road upon which the blessings of God can travel to your address. How many are glad for the Word of God today? Confession is not a fad that faded away in the 80s. It's a truth from God's Word that is a catalyst moving from nominal Christendom to walking in a higher state of victory. We doing all right this morning? Don't worry. My message, it's all going to be left for next week. Okay, it's all right. 7:30? Next week. Oh, I wanted to get to it. Oh, it's so right on with what we're talking about right now. Don't worry, we're done with that. I just want to read you. This is an old book written by a man that some people, you'd think he was the devil, the way they talk about him and hate him. Kenneth Copeland. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. With this we end. Have you been blessed this morning? Yes. Listen, there's hope in Jesus. Is there a substance that is ruling your life? The minute that I just said that, the enemy went just like this to your heart. It's been so good, but why did he have to bring that up? That's demonic religion. Because here's the rest of the story. I want you to know that how much he loves you and how much he has not quit on you and how much today is a brand new day and it's never too late to start again. And faith is the victory. Start saying some things about who you are in the light of who he says you are. We charismatics and spirit-filled Pentecostal women are the worst with shortcuts. We all want a shortcut. I'm so glad for the gifts. I'm so glad for the miracles. But I'll tell you one thing, those who walk in power did not do it through a snap fix. They got it through putting the Word of God in them till it became abundant and it rolled off their lips. And those are people that have stuck it out through the years. Overcomers. I'm not taking away from the other. The other is a byproduct. It's not something you live by. Let me repeat that. The other is a signs and wonders follow. They're a byproduct, not what you live by. Man shall not live by bread alone. I'm hungry, I want, give me, I eat, I'm satisfied. Now, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, the Amplified Bible. Withstand the devil. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. I hope you go out of here buzzing. He's got good things in store for you. You're hungry. You're laying hold. You don't ever look back. What a beautiful thing. No matter how long you've been living by faith, no matter how much you've learned about it, every once in a while you may suffer a setback. Can you say amen? You may run into, this is their devotional, April 11th. Let me back up. You may run into some circumstances that just don't turn out the way you expected. If that happens, remember this. Those setbacks are just temporary. You may have lost the battle, but you're not going to lose the war. Just get up and go at it again. But I don't understand it. You say, I did the best I could. I walked in all the truth I knew to walk in. Why didn't I get the victory? Because there was something you didn't know. It shouldn't shock you too much that there are things you don't know about the realm of the Spirit. Ken and I have been in ministry for over, and she names the amount of years, we've spent untold hours in the Word, yet it seems like the more we learn, the more we realize we don't know. How many can say amen? So when we get to a situation where we can't seem to get the victory, we have to ask God for more wisdom. If you look in 2 Samuel 21, you can see that when King David... You can see when King David had to do that, his country had been suffering from a famine for 3 years, and David just didn't understand it, so he inquired of the Lord. The Lord told him the famine had come because of something Saul had done. Isn't that amazing? Saul had been dead for years, yet what he'd put in motion in the realm of the Spirit was still affecting his country. It's called words and thinking patterns. The belief of the heart. David could have just given up when his usual confessions of faith and ways of praying didn't drive out that famine, but he didn't. He inquired of God for more wisdom. He used his temporary setback to cause him to seek more knowledge from God. Follow his example. Overcome the habit of quitting because of temporary setbacks. Did you hear that? Overcome the habit of quitting. And this morning, in Jesus' name, as you go, I together, would you pray with me right now? I together with my brothers and sisters, would you pray? Stand with me right now as we pray together. Right now, in Jesus' name, we arrest. Would you say it with me out loud? We arrest the habit of quitting. He's never quit on me. In Jesus' name, I take, say it out of your mouth, I take authority in Jesus' name over the habit of quitting. Shout out and make this confession with me. I'm not a quitter. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm not a quitter. I'm more than a conqueror. Woo! That's good news. The Bible says, when it's all over, you'll have won. So just be steadfast in your faith. In the end, your victory. In the end. Come on, are you here this morning all over the room? Can we worship? Hallelujah. In the end, your victory. What are you looking at? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The victory is ours. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Happy Mother. That's my Mother's Day sermon. Moms, if you'll follow it, your kids will be blessed. Kids, if you will follow it, your mama will be blessed. Hallelujah. Out of the abundance of the heart, let the mouth speak. Can I pray for you before you go? I went longer than I wanted to, as usual, but we're still pretty early. It's 20 till. It's all right, isn't it? Got plenty of time. Can you lift your hands? Let me pray for you all over this room. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. We're going to dismiss, and I'm going to remain right here. I'd love to talk to you a few moments and just lead you in a simple prayer. Lead you into relationship with God through His Son. You don't have to hope. You don't have to wonder. You can leave here this morning knowing that things are okay between you and God, and knowing that He's with you to help you in your struggle, not judging you for your struggle. Today can be a brand new day. So I'm going to remain here. If you have any other needs at all, we'll remain here to pray with you this morning. With hands lifted all over the room, I thank you, Father, today in Jesus' name, that we break past preaching, we break past a religious function, and today in Jesus' name, we receive this habit of quitting, and the Spirit is broken in my life. I've got my eye set on the mark of my prize, the prize of my high calling. And today, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your people all over this room. We thank you for your promises that are yes and amen in you. We thank you that you literally are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that the word in abundance flowing out of my lips changes the course of my future. I thank you today that destinies, come on, would you hear me today? Destinies are being reset as we submit to the spoken word in our lives, Father. For these things, we give you thanks. Father, I thank you for a good week. I thank you for people that hear your voice so clear this week, they're shocked. I thank you that people are encouraged and strengthened as we lay it in, line upon line. Thank you for your word that is true, in Jesus' name. And if you can agree and receive that, say amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in Jesus. Call your mom if you can. Spend some time. Love on one another in Jesus' name. Have a blessed week. Amen. We've got the front open.